ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Before I was saved, I used to say, yeah, I have an Italian temper. Well, that's an excuse. All right? And then there's Irish tempers. There's all kinds of tempers out there, right? We just use any nationality, put it in there, and we feel that it justifies it. It doesn't. Here's the thing. Are there things that we don't necessarily see that are bad in our lives that God wants us to deal with? Absolutely. And so God, by His Spirit, as He opens up His Word to us, speaks to our hearts and reveals those things that we need to change because He loves us that much. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David is doing what we need to do. He's asking God, "God, help me to apply your truth to my life. Show me those blind spots, the things that I can't see, so I can change them. Open my heart. See if there's any wickedness in there." And I think many times, you know, we think we're doing okay, and then something happens, and all of a sudden this evil from our heart comes out. We go, "Wow, where did that come from?" God said, "Well, I was just showing you. You need to get rid of that. You need to let it go." You see, David wants to go down that road to everlasting life, and so do we. And so those areas of wickedness that are hidden deep down in our heart need to be revealed by God so that He can purge them out of our lives. And I think that's a good principle to follow. Here is an all-knowing, omnipresent, all-powerful God who wants to mold and shape our lives. And we say, "We'll see about that." Not a good thing. No, we want God to do that. But when our anger, when our emotions begin to get out of control, that's when we need to bring it to the Lord. "Lord, that's not right. I need that taken out." In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, the psalmist said, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And I realize there's some people that feel they can change. They've been doing this all their life. It's part of their nature. And there's nothing they can do about it. Well, here's the thing. That's partly true. There's nothing you can do about it, but God can. That's the problem. We always try to do things. You know, my anger, I'll just count to 10. Well, maybe 15. Maybe 1,672 now. And it doesn't work. We need God to help us. And here's the thing. Aren't we a new creation in Christ? Haven't the old things passed away and all things have become new? Yeah. Now, granted, God is still dealing with things in our lives, but we're a new creation, and we need to live accordingly. God will give us the strength to do so. Remember what we were told of Samson, that the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him, empowering him. He had the power, but then he needed to allow the Holy Spirit to work not only in him, but through him. And he didn't do that. Samson didn't walk by faith. He walked by his flesh, his fleshly desires, and it brought disaster. We have the Spirit of God in us, something Samson didn't do. Spirit of God was upon Samson, but not in him. That only comes in the New Testament with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we have the empowerment of the Spirit of God upon our lives. And so, why aren't we walking accordingly? Why are we allowing our lives to hurt others? We need to be careful. In fact, Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 27 tell us, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Solomon's saying, hey, stay focused. Pay attention to what you're doing. Walk according to what the Lord wants you to walk, the Lord wants you to walk. You know, I've said it before, racehorses have blinders on so they're not distracted by things around them. Their focus is straight ahead. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Lord is saying, keep your eyes focused on me and I'll direct you. You need to press on. Don't allow your eyes to dwell upon evil. Don't allow your ears to listen to things that are evil. We have to walk accordingly. And God, I believe God gives us the power to do that. And then we have to walk. That's one thing about Christianity that, man, is so different than any other religions, because religions tell you, do this, don't do that, but they don't tell you how. God says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There's the key. Are we willing to surrender and then walk accordingly? Because God will give you the ability to do that. Webster's dictionary defines a blind spot as a prejudice or ignorance that one has but is often unaware of. Yeah. You know, we know areas in our life where we're not living as we should, contrary maybe to what the Bible's teaching. And, you know, the other thing is, if we did know we were living contrary to God's word, would we change? And many feel, well, it kind of depends on the situation. But we all have blind spots. Paul said in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in us and then teach and admonish one another. That's a great thing because, you know, as you're teaching someone, you have to know so much more than the person you're teaching. I remember when I was in nursing school and I had done my chemistry classes, and I loved chemistry for whatever reason. It was real bizarre because I hated school in high school, but college, I loved it. And chemistry was one of those things that I really got. Please don't ask me a question now, but I did get it. And there were two girls that I was working with at the hospital back in Chicago that were struggling with chemistry. And so at break time, we'd get together and I'd put the problems on the board and I'd have them go through it and I would teach them. And it helped me as it was helping them. And that's a great thing. As Christians, we're to help each other. We're to warn each other. If you're going down a wrong path, don't you want to protect them? I mean, if someone was going across a bridge that was out, wouldn't you try to prevent them from going down that path? Absolutely. So you see a brother in trouble, a sister in trouble, redirect them in love. Blind spots are tough. We all have them. But the thing is, are we willing, as God shows us these blind spots, are we willing to change? And again, that's up to us as individuals. And we all fight that from time to time. But boy, you know, when you see what God wants to do in your life, that's the best thing. That's the best thing. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Be guided by the Spirit of God. And for Samson, you know, why didn't his friends help him? Well, like I said, I don't think he had any friends. He was a loner. And Samson, as you look at his life, he does what he wants. There's no indication he's doing what God wants. And so he was blind to his actions. And that blindness, we're going to see, there's consequences to them. The consequences of his actions. Look at Judges 15, verse 2. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. So I think the father was trying to do what was right. You know, he honestly says, I thought you hated my daughter. I thought you weren't coming back. I gave her to another man. And now that you returned, take my younger daughter. He's trying to fix the problem. Now, probably the biggest and one that these other issues is born out of is that Samson, think about what he's doing. Here's a representative of God down in Gentile territory, the enemy's camp, and he's misrepresenting God before this Philistine father, this Gentile. Wow. I think this father was acting better than Samson was here. There is no doubt in my mind that this Philistine father knew that Samson was of the children of Israel. Of course he knew that. He knew about the God they worshipped. It was no secret. Yet Samson was acting like everyone else. There was no difference in his actions towards others. Wow. That's a huge point. And for us, think about it. We represent God to those around us, people that don't know the Lord. And we also are a witness to those that do know the Lord to encourage them or help them in their faith. But if we respond just as the world is responding, there is no difference in our lives. And that's the problem. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16? You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, salt is a preservative, and we should preserve the culture around us by our actions, the things we do. If we don't, then there's no point in letting people know we're Christians because it hasn't impacted our lives. Does salt sometimes burn? Yeah, you ever get salt on a wound? It burns. Yeah, when you are living for Jesus, doing the right things, sometimes people, it burns them a little. But sometimes they need that to be awakened from where they're at so they could see their error. Not only are we salt, we're light. We're shining the light of Christ to a world that's in darkness. And so by our actions, by our words, by the way we live out our Christian life, are people seeing that light shining? I mean, what good is a lighthouse if the light is out? It's useless. It looks great in the daytime when there's no fog, but in the night or when there's huge fog and you can't see, you know, your hand in front of you, that lighthouse is useless. We need to shine in this dark world. And people, Christians today, struggle with this. Oh, the world's so bad, it's so evil. My response is, that's what God said. That's exactly what he said in these last days that we're living in. The world is going to get darker and darker. I mean, have you ever thought that Christians would be silenced from social media? I mean, you say something that Facebook or Twitter doesn't like, you go to Facebook jail. Not a good thing. What did I say before? Twitter, you go to the birdcage. I don't know. You go somewhere. You're blocked. That's how crazy it is. But we are to be a light in this dark world. And for Samson, he keeps going down, down, down. And I guarantee you, as we're not obeying the Lord, as we're not walking as he wants, that's what will happen in our lives. And we're not going to be representing Christ in this world. We'll be representing ourselves. You know, it's really less of me, more of you, God. I want people to see Jesus in me. But if I get in the way, they're not. Jesus, remember what he said to the religious leaders in Matthew 12:34? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So do a heart check before you speak. You know, it is amazing how quick I could respond sarcastically to people. I'm not that smart, but that stuff I have no problem with. It just, boom, it's out there. Once it's out there, it's hard to get back, isn't it? You know, you can't do rewind and edit it. It's gone. So I've learned, and I also with Facebook, because I I used to get in arguments with people. There's no point. You never win these arguments on Facebook. There's no point to it. I have to step back and say, Lord, help me. Do you want me to say anything here on this Facebook post? Or what do you want me to say to this person, Lord, before I speak? You see, I have to bring it before the Lord and let Him show me what I need to do. Because otherwise, I'm going to get myself into trouble. You see, and I realize people go, well, you know, you're going a little overboard here. I don't think so. Yeah, there are consequences for his actions, as we saw here. And it leads then to the fact that Samson burned with rage now. Okay, he's not walking with God, so things are going to ignite in his life. Look at verse 3 here in Judges 15. And Samson said to them, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Then Samson went out and caught 300 foxes, and he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. Wow. Now here's the thing. Remember in Judges 14:4 regarding Samson marrying this woman in the first place? We're told his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, as you read that, some come to the conclusion that God was in this, and thus Samson was doing what was right. He's not. God used even the sin of Samson to accomplish his plan and purpose. The problem for Samson is he didn't guard his heart, and out of it came gushing forth all this evil. And again, maybe you're struggling with that God uses our evil for his good to accomplish his plan and his purposes. But listen to Psalm 76:10. "Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, with the remainder of wrath you shall gird yourself." The Living Bible amplifies it a little bit. "Man's futile wrath will bring you glory. You will use it as an ornament." You know, like with Samson, man can try as hard as he wants to fight against God. He's not going to win. He's fulfilling God's plan, just as Satan did. You know, when Satan worked and pulled the strings of Pilate and the Jewish religious leaders and crucifying Jesus on the cross of Calvary, he thought he won. Did he win? No. He lost. He was fulfilling God's plan. The Jewish people in rebellion against God were fulfilling God's plan. Pilate was fulfilling God's plan. And I look at leaders all over the world today who think they're doing their own thing. And they're fulfilling the plan of God. You know, yes, Samson was in rebellion against God. But God was going to use it to come against the Philistines, something that he wanted to do. But Samson, kind of like a child, is now acting out in anger. He burned with anger. And he's going to come against the Philistines, not to kill them here, though, which is interesting, but to destroy their crops with foxes, or really jackals, that tied their tails together, put a torch in between them, and lit the torch on fire. He caught 300 of them and let them go. And they're catching the grain, the vineyards, the olive groves of the Philistines on fire, destroying them. This is a temper tantrum. What purpose did this have to destroy the Philistines? Really none. Didn't kill any Philistines. And we can have temper tantrums. Not a gift of the Spirit. It's a work of the flesh. You know, one person wrote, if you're a mother or father of small children or had dealings with small children, then you know the scene. Everything is going smoothly and your child is happy until you tell your precious child, no. Everything changes then. All of a sudden, the child melts down into a fit, kicking, screaming, and demanding that you allow her to do whatever it is she wants to do. As a mother of an almost 2-year-old, temper tantrums are daily occurrence in our house. Our sweet little girl all of a sudden turns into someone you do not know, and you wonder what happened to your well-mannered child. Most of the time, there is no reasoning with the child, and you have to take some sort of disciplinary action. A few weeks ago, I was dealing with one of Michaelin's tantrums when God spoke very candidly to my spirit. As adults, we like to think of ourselves as greater than a two-year-old, but many times we act just like them. We might not physically act out with kicking and screaming, but spiritually we close our hearts and resist God. We ask for something and he says no or wait, and the temper tantrum begins. The Bible calls this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8 tell us this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I find that interesting, that if we set our mind on the Spirit, there's life and peace. So if things are out of control and we're worried and anxious, we're not focused right. We need to focus back on God, because there's life and there's peace there. I didn't say that life is going to be easy. I didn't say, you know, like Tiny Tim, it's a tiptoe through the tulips. It's tough, but there is peace within those storms we go through, those battles we face. We need to have the Spirit control our lives or guide us. But it's so much easier just to have a temper tantrum, isn't it? Because you don't have to submit to anyone. And how many of us like to submit to anyone? We don't. But we have our temper tantrums and we get mad and kick and scream and yell. Is there life and peace in that? No. And God waits, and He'll wait. He'll wait until we come to Him. And there is that life and peace that we find in Him. Samson is just angry, bitter, mad. I mean, I don't know what the jackals did that he gathered them together to tie these torches between. I don't think, you know, I had in my notes no animals were hurt in this act. I don't think so. I think they burned up as well. Samson refused to submit to God, surrender to his will, and then walk accordingly. And here's the thing. If we don't do that, like Samson, we are going to burn with rage. And we have to understand, once again, there are consequences to our actions. I mean, look at what happens next. This is shocking. Look at verse 6 here in Judges 15. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Wow, that is shocking, isn't it? The Philistines are not happy with what happened to their food supply. You know, it wasn't that they can go to the Piggly Wiggly and get some food. They were agrarian society. They had to plant their crops. And now they're all gone, destroyed by fire. First, they weren't sure who did it. They were told Samson did it. And they're so upset, they go and burn the wife of Samson and her father to death. What wrong did they do? They just got involved with Samson. Wow. Now, some say, well, this is a good thing, destroying Philistines. No, I don't see that as a good thing. I mean, two Philistines dead, his father-in-law and his wife. How many hundreds of thousands more Philistines to go? Samson never delivered the children of Israel from the bondage they were in at the hands of the Philistines. For 40 years they were in bondage, and he never did it. He was supposed to. He was a judge. And the consequences of what Samson had done, people got burned, right? Literally, to death. So Isaac Newton's third law of motion states, for every action, there is a reaction. Exactly. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What are you sowing to? The Spirit or the flesh? There's consequences. Some are good, you sow to the Spirit. Some are bad, you sow to the flesh. One writer said, nobody ever did or will escape the consequences of his choices. Yeah.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.